Rivka receives a blessing from her family members before she sets out on her journey to marry Yitzchak. O sister, may you grow into thousands of myriads. May your descendants inherit the gates of their foes. This, as Rashi points out, is almost identical to the blessing Avraham received from the angel of God after the end of the Akedah, the binding of Isaac. I will bestow my blessing upon you, and your descendants shall inherit the gates of their foes. Indeed, Rivka effectively receives from her family the very blessing once given to Avraham. Avraham is blessed by an angel of the God immediately after the Akedah, and Rivka hears the same words as she sets out on her journey to marry Yitzchak. What is the meaning of the blessing's shift from Avraham to Rivka? The previous parasha ends with the Akedah and with Avraham's blessing. Its content focuses on the promise of numerous descendants, inheritance, and blessing for future generations, that through Avraham's offspring, all nations of the earth will be blessed. Strikingly, right after receiving this blessing, centered entirely on offspring, Avraham returns alone to the young men who had accompanied him, with no mention of Yitzchak. The unusual phrase, harbe arbe, I will greatly multiply, which appears in the blessing, signals indeed a challenge of continuity embedded within it. This phrase occurs only twice more in the Torah, both in Bereshit, and each time it is tied to human struggle around fertility and parenthood. It first appears in the Garden of Eden, in God's words to Chava. Harbe, harbe, I will greatly multiply your pain and your pregnancies. In pain you shall bear children. It appears again in the angel's blessing to Hagar. Hagar, who is pregnant at the time and told to return to Abraham's household despite her suffering. The angel of the Lord said to her, Harbe, harbe, I will greatly multiply your offspring, and they shall be too many to count. Thus, the blessing given to Avraham is rooted in contexts of tension and complexity relating to intergenerational relationships. And indeed, although the Akedah does not end with the death of the youth, the cost seems to be estrangement. From that point onward, Avraham and Yitzchak are never again depicted interacting with each other. In our parasha, Yitzchak receives two things that are usually passed from father to son, one material and one spiritual, inheritance and blessing. The material inheritance he receives directly from Avraham, although without biblical reference to a meeting or conversation between them. As the verses say, Avraham gave all that he had to Yitzchak. As for the blessing, it comes only after Avraham's death, and heartbreakingly, not from the father, but from God. And it came to pass after the death of Avraham that God blessed his son, Yitzchak. This distance is hardly surprising. The Akedah represents a moment when Avraham, the father, chooses obedience to the divine command to offer his son as an olah, a sacrifice. As the angel says, you have not withheld your son, your favored one, from me. One possible outcome of such an event is the need for other forces to ensure continuity, for the story to go on. In this case, two figures step in: God, who blesses the son in place of the father, and the companion, the partner, Rivka, Yitzchak's wife, who comes to him already bearing, in a sense, the blessing of the father, of Avraham, which is the blessing for Yitzchak himself. When Rivka appears like a breath of fresh air, she offers an alternative. Unlike Avraham, she stands at the beginning of her relationship with Yitzchak, and at that very moment, she receives the same blessing. Rivka, in this parasha, is a connecting figure, unafraid to form new relationships. From the moment she is introduced, she is defined in relation to others, as Avraham's grandniece. When she sees someone in need, Avraham's servant, she responds not only to his immediate request, but beyond it. She does not fear deepening the connection. She identifies herself and offers hospitality and continuity in relationship. And when she is asked, "Will you go with this man?" she answers simply, "I will go." Through these connections and contexts, she receives a blessing that looks towards the future. Oh, sister, may you grow into thousands of myriads. May your descendants inherit the gates of their foes. Unlike Avraham, who never blesses his son Yitzchak, and after the Akedah is never again depicted meeting him, Rivka responds fully and immediately to Yitzchak. She saw Yitzchak and she fell or got off from her camel. It seems that while the blessing, "May your descendants inherit the gates of their enemies," is identical in wording, its meaning changes fundamentally when passed from Avraham to Rivka. Avraham receives the blessing because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your favorite, from me, while Rivka receives hers as our sister. Avraham's blessing comes with the weight and pain of intergenerational rupture implied in "I will greatly multiply," harbe harbe, whereas Rivka's comes through the love and kindness of a heartfelt send-off, wishing one well as they embark on a journey. With the blessing given to Rivka, she becomes part of the chain of transmission, but through closeness and belonging rather than sacrifice and separation. The blessing now becomes a source of human connection and relationship, replacing the kind of choices that led to distance and disconnect. Perhaps the continuation of the blessing through Rivka is a divine shift, a turning point. No longer continuity through akedah, binding and sacrifice. No longer blessing earned by "you did not withhold," but rather continuity born from relationships, compassion, and kindness. Maybe Rivka's blessing represents a moment of repair, a realization, maybe even revelation, that divine blessing can come not only through trial and sacrifice, but through building a home, human commitment, covenant, and love. Shabbat Shalom.